Well, over the past couple of weeks, we've been looking at the importance of prayer. And we saw, number one, that it was a good thing to just be still, to just be quiet, and to say, oh God, would you search my heart? Would you show me what's really in there, and allow God to speak to us? And then secondly, we saw that it's a good thing to have the Word of God open. As we pray, that we would allow the Word of God to tell us what is right in the eyes of God, and allow the Word to cut away the things in our lives that don't need to be there, and fill us with the things that do, that would please God. Well, today we're going to look at what it means to be ready, what it means to be ready in prayer. And while there are many ways that we could be ready, the main reason I want us to focus on today, or the main thing, is this, is to be ready with a pen and a piece of paper. And you may be thinking, that doesn't sound very spiritual, Pastor. Or perhaps you're thinking, you know what, I'm just not a writer. I just don't like to write. It's not my style, not my thing. Or you may be like me thinking, you know what, show me in here where it says in the Bible that I need to pray with a piece of pen and a paper. I mean, I don't see Jesus going off to a solitary place with a notebook and a pen on him. I just don't see that. And that may be true. We may not see that at all. And there may not be a specific command to pray with a pen and a piece of paper. But the Bible also never says it's a bad thing to do that. And so today, if you are struggling in this area of prayer, of praying consistently, then this may be one thing that may help you. If you feel like you're in a spiritual rut and you just need to be lifted out of it, then perhaps this could be one tool in your life that may help you. And so this is kind of how we want to look at it this morning. Again, I'd like to consider the words of Eric Little, that Olympic runner from Scotland, back in the early 1900s, talking about the disciplines of the Christian life. And he said this, he said, write down what comes to you. Wait for the meaning to settle in. When a person hurries through a forest, few birds and animals appear. They go into hiding. But if the person sits down and waits, they come out. It will be so with reading the Bible and praying. Prayer is a time exposure of the soul to God. Let your inmost self be exposed to God's word. Be willing to obey and obey. Eric says, write down what comes to you. Again, we don't find a specific command in the Bible that we're to do this, but again, I think it can be very beneficial to many of us in our Christian walk. If you were to ask me, Eric, when do you think you grew the most as a Christian? And I would have to point back to a time where I would open the Word, read it, and write down what came to me. This week I grabbed a notebook off my shelf, very old notebook, back from 86 is what it is, and the pages are kind of yellow in it. But I was about 19 when I had this notebook and some papers, and let me just share some of the things that I would write down. For example, here on January 27th, 1986, passage read was John 12, 1 through 26. Not a whole lot that I read that day. But I would write down a key thought and how it impressed me. I wrote down this: the resurrection of Lazarus brought many Jews to believe in Jesus. Mary's anointing of Jesus showed Judas Iscariot's selfishness and greed. And then I wrote down verse 8, where Jesus said, you will always have poor people with you, but you will not always have me. And in verse 25 and 26, don't be proud and love your earthly life. Be a servant of Jesus. And then application, how could I apply this today? I wrote down, by putting Jesus first in my life, I will eliminate the greed and selfishness that can come. And I will want to be a servant and follower of Christ. Not a whole lot that I wrote down, but again, I think it was very beneficial for me to write those things down. And as I look back on that time, certainly there was a newness to the word, because many of the things I was learning for the first time, and you know how it is when something's new to you, right? There's kind of a natural excitement that you have. And that may happen as you begin to walk with Christ and see new things in the word. But I also can look back and say, I know this, I can honestly say that I had a real eagerness in my heart to hear the things of God and then try to apply them to my own life. And so today I would urge all of you, whether you've been walking with the Lord for 30 days or 30 years, that you would have an eagerness in your heart, that you'd be ready and willing to obey. And I believe just writing things down may be one way that will help your heart to be ready and to be willing to obey. As I flipped through my notebook this week, I found some outlines of some sermons. I went to a church in Northampton, Massachusetts for a while called College Church, and there was, just like in your bulletins, there were outlines. And I would take some notes, and I don't know why I don't take notes anymore during sermons, but just kidding, I know why. But each week in your bulletin, there are little outlines there. And if you'll notice, between the Roman numerals, either 1, 2, 3, or maybe the ABCs, there's a lot of space. And that space is there for you to write things down. Whatever God may impress upon your hearts. Now, there's different ways of teaching. Some may like to fill in a lot of blanks and have people write in a lot of the thoughts. But my personal view is that give a basic outline and let God speak to the people. And as he speaks to you, you just write down. It could be a scripture verse. It could be something that was said. But my prayer and my hope is that as the word of God is shared, that the Holy Spirit would impress things on your heart. And then you would just take a moment and jot those things down. Now, you may be sitting here today and thinking, oh, great, I don't even have a pen on me. And here, pastor's telling me to write things down. That's okay. Next week, you can bring a pen and you can write things down. It's a good thing to write things down. It may be a good habit for you to get into. One thing I don't want to do, though, is to make it feel like it is an absolute necessity that you do, or that the really spiritual people take notes and the less spiritual people, well, they don't take notes. I don't want to create that atmosphere in here where we're looking at each other, seeing who's taking notes, who's not. Because the truth of the matter is this: someone may take wonderful notes, and they may leave here and not apply anything that they wrote down. Someone else may not use a drop of ink, and they may leave here and turn the world upside down for Jesus Christ. It's not about whether you take notes or whether you don't, but if you're struggling in your walk and you need some discipline, just writing things down may help you. I can attest to that fact. It has helped me tremendously in my life. So you may be asking the why question. Why should we do this? Why should we write things down? And the main reason is this: because it helps to reinforce truth. Helps to reinforce truth. And it's true. We can open our Bibles, we can read them, we can hear things, and they can impact our lives and stick to us. But often many things that we hear tend to just go in, they sit for a while, and then they may go out. But if we write them down, we have them to look at them again and again. How many of you who are as old as I am and older may remember being in school and having to write down, I will not chew gum, I will not chew gum, I will not, maybe 25 times. Some of you can remember that. Or I will not pull Sally's hair, I will not pull Sally. Why did the teacher do that? And some of you young people thinking, what is up with that? That does sound like cruel and unusual punishment. No, back in the day, that's when the teachers did it. And why did they do it? What was the method to their madness? So that it would reinforce truth. Yes, it was a form of punishment because you were a bad boy or a bad girl, but it was to remind you, to teach you something. That's why you wrote it down again and again, so that you would learn something from that, from writing it down. And so too, when we allow God to speak to us, writing it down may be one way that he chooses to reinforce truth. As we think about things that are written down, there tends to be a weight to things that are written, aren't there? How many of you have ever said, let me see that in writing? Anybody ever do that? If you're an employer or you're a boss, you may have to put things in writing for your employees so they know exactly what is expected. It's good to see it in black and white. We don't want to, he said this, she said that. No, we want to see it in black and white, and so it is written down. Well, when God wanted to communicate his truth to humanity, what did he do? He had it written down. Aren't you glad that God didn't just tell Moses, hey, Moses, you know, when your kids get a little older, you just tell them about, you know, creation and Noah and Abraham and all that stuff. And then when their kids get older, they'll tell their kids and so on and so on. How many of you have ever played that game Telephone? I think that's what it was called, Telephone, where you sat in a circle. Some of you can remember that, right? 15 kids or so, 20 kids, and you're sitting in a circle and someone starts out and they whisper something in someone's ear and it goes all the way around and you see if it's the same thing as what it started with. And usually it starts out something like this. You know, my uncle Billy likes to eat peanut butter and jelly sandwich, peanut butter and jelly for lunch. But by the time you get to the last person, it ends up being something like this. My uncle Willie ate Mike's peanut butter and got punched in the belly. It gets all kind of distorted a little bit, right? Maybe some of the words are same, but there's much distortion. Well, when God wanted to give the truth to humanity, he made sure it was written down. We heard that in our scripture reading today. We see this in the book of Exodus, Exodus 32, when Moses went up to the mountain to receive the law of God. Listen to what God says. Exodus 32, 15 and 16, it says, Moses turned and went down the mountain with the two tablets of the testimony in his hands. They were inscribed on both sides, front and back. The tablets were the work of God. The writing was the writing of God, engraved on the tablets. As many of you know, Moses comes down, he sees the idol worship. What happens? He gets mad and breaks the tablets, and they got to take two and make some new tablets. But the bottom line is, it was written down for the people. We see when God spoke through the prophets, not only did the prophets speak to the people with their mouth, but God said, I want you to write these things down. Jeremiah 30, verse 2 says this. Says, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. Write in a book all the words I have spoken to you. We see the same thing with prophets like Isaiah and Ezekiel. God says, write these things down. When we want to know about the life of Christ, where do we go? The Gospels, Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John. Now, do we have every detail about the life of Christ? No, we don't. Listen to what John says in John 20, verse 25. He says, Jesus did many other things as well. If every one of them were written down, I suppose that even the whole world would not have room for the books that would be written. Jesus did many things, and we ought to be thankful that we know so much about the life of Christ through the apostles. As the church was established, we have a record of the early history of the church in the book of Acts. Do we have every detail? No, but there are key events in the life of the church that we find recorded for us. When Paul wanted to correct and rebuke and encourage the believers, what did he do? He would send letters. 1 Thessalonians 5:27 says this, I charge you before the Lord to have this letter read to all the brothers. Again, Paul wrote it down so that it didn't get mixed up, it didn't get confused. As we come to the last book of our Bibles, the book of Revelation, John says this in Revelation chapter 1, 9 through 11. He says, I, John, your brother and companion in the suffering and kingdom and patient endurance that are ours in Jesus, was on the island of Patmos because of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus. On the Lord's day, I was in the Spirit, And I heard behind me a loud voice like a trumpet, which said, and this is Jesus speaking, write on a scroll what you see and send it to the seven churches, to Ephesus, Smyrna, Pergamum, Thyatira, Sardis, Philadelphia, and Laodicea. The point is, things were written down. Things were written down. And there's much more that could be said about the written word of God. And I would encourage you to dig into that, to do some research on how the Bible came to be. It is fascinating when you look at the Old Testament scribes and what a God-fearing thing it was to copy the scriptures. How careful they had to be. It wasn't just flippant. They were very careful when they did that. The evidence of all the New Testament manuscripts that we have is incredible when you look at it. That the apostles wrote things down and we have record for our sake. And we can be oh so grateful that God saw fit to use people inspired by the Holy Spirit and record things so that we might know God and we might know Jesus Christ. So the point being, it's a good thing. It's a good thing to write things down. And you may be asking, well, what should I write down? Okay, I believe you. I'm with you. It's a good thing. Well, what should I write? What should I write? You may have gone out and bought your notebook and you've got your pen. By the way, there's pens on the back table. There's a box of them. So on your way out today, okay, you make sure you grab one of these. Okay, I didn't buy notebooks, sorry, but there are pens. So this pen will serve as a reminder that you go out and get yourself a notebook because a pen needs a notebook. And now you've got your pen, you've got your notebook, and now you're what? You're being still before God. You're letting God speak to your heart. You're there with your Bible open. God is showing you things in the Word. Now what should you do? As we go back to the notebook that I shared earlier, you may just simply want to write down a verse that you read that hit you that day. Or you may want to write, how could I apply this to my life? And you may say, do I really need to do that? Because I already know what I'm going to be doing. It's a good thing to write it down and then to look at it, just to see it. It just does something. It reinforces God's truth to us. Perhaps you've been struggling with anger. And there you are. You've got your Bible open, you've got your pen and your paper, and you're reading for the day, you're reading through the New Testament, and your passage is Ephesians 4. And you come across these words, which says this, get rid of all bitterness, rage and anger, brawling and slander, along with every form of malice. Be kind and compassionate to one another, forgiving each other just as God forgave you. You may want to take a moment and just write out that verse. Write it out and look at it. And then you may want to write these sentences, something like this. Lord, help me to be forgiving. Lord, you know this week I was angry with Bill. I was very upset with Bill. Lord, would you help me to truly forgive him? Help me to remember, God, how much you forgave me. Jesus, you wiped it all away. And I know this, Jesus, that I've sinned against you way more than anybody could hurt me or sin against me or against you. So, Lord, help me. You may just want to write on that. Or perhaps you may find that you judge people. You're very critical of people. And your reading for the day is Matthew 7. You may just want to write out these words. Do not judge or you too will be judged. Why write it? Because you think about it and you let it dwell deep within your hearts. And you may say, Lord, help me not to be so critical of so-and-so. Help me not to try to figure out why they do what they do. Lord, you know their motive. You know their heart. That's not my job. You're the judge with a capital J. You may just want to write that out. Or perhaps you read your Bible and it says, let us encourage one another. You may say, Lord, help me to be an encourager. And in your quiet time, God may just have someone on your mind. Lord, for some reason, Susie's on my mind. The last time I saw Susie, she was pretty down. I haven't heard from her in a while. You know what? Maybe I need to pick up the phone. Maybe I just need to send her a card. You may want to take your pen and paper and just write down Susie card so that you remember to send Susie a card and lift her up and encourage her. Well, today was all about being ready. And again, one simple way we can help our hearts to be ready for what God wants to do in us and help us grow is to simply write those things down. Next week, we're going to focus on action, because the truth is we can do all these things. We can sit before God. We can be quiet. We can write in our notebooks and yet not do anything about it. We're going to talk more about that next week, but to kind of wet your whistle or to prime the pump, there we go. I want to read to you from James chapter 1. James says this in James 1, 22 through 25. He says, "Do not merely listen to the word and so deceive yourselves. Do what it says. Anyone who listens to the word but does not do what it says is like a man who looks at his face in a mirror and after looking at himself goes away and immediately forgets what he looks like. But the man who looks intently into the perfect law that gives freedom and continues to do this, not forgetting what he has heard, but doing it, he will be blessed in what he does." Again today, I don't want to add another burden on your plate. And some of you may be thinking, you know what, I'm just not a writer. And if that's where you're at, that's between you and God, that's, I'm not going to argue with you. But I would strongly encourage you to just take time to write things down, because when we write things down, what are we doing? We're really slowing ourselves down in this fast-paced world where we're running here, running there. It just forces us to slow down and to hear from God and allow God to speak to our hearts. So I would strongly encourage you to get a pen on the way out today and pick up a notebook. And you may not do it every day, but maybe just a few times a week, just write things down where God is impressing things on your heart. And as I close today, I want to share the most important thing that was ever written down for us, and that is this, that Jesus Christ came into the world to save sinners. And that we all are sinners, that we all fall short of the glory of God, that we all need a Savior, that we all need forgiveness, we all need spiritual healing. We all need that. Have you come to believe in Jesus Christ? Have you confessed that he is Lord? Have you turned your life over to him? Have you surrendered to Jesus? Have you acknowledged him as Lord in your life? If not, then today repent. Put your faith in Jesus Christ. Believe in his cross and his blood that forgives you and his powerful resurrection. Believe that he is, as our banners say, King of Kings and Lord of Lords. And if you have come to Christ, then know this, that your name is written in the Lamb's book of life. And God says, "I will never, ever blot out your name." Revelation 3. Not only that, but God says, I've engraved you on my hands. God has tattooed, if you will, our names on his hands. Why? Because we belong to him and we will permanently be with him forever. And we can take great assurance today that if we're in Christ, that we're forever with him, that he's written it down and he's never, ever going to erase our name from the book of life. Let's pray. God, we thank you today for your word. And Lord, we're reminded again that it is the written word of God. And God, you've preserved it by your power, by your Holy Spirit. It is without error. And Lord, it instructs us on life and living for you, Lord. And we are so grateful today that we have it as an authority in our lives. And Lord, we know that your word is always under attack. There'll be people, those who seek to discredit it. But Lord, help us to just trust in you and have faith in your word. Lord, you're a God who speaks and you're a God who is true. And so, Lord, today we rest in your word. Father, as we think about this discipline of just writing things down, Lord, I pray that, Lord, you would just do whatever you desire to do in our lives. Lord, for some, maybe we did it at one time and we've gotten away, and maybe we just need to get back. For others, maybe this is something they've never tried, but Lord, that maybe you want them to begin this habit. Lord, not so they can look good in the eyes of men, but just to help them grow, to help them be honest before you, to allow you to speak to our hearts what you want to say. Oh God, help us just to take whatever you want us to take today for your glory. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.